Just a heads up, everyone. This podcast features adults having adult conversations, and there might be the chance of adult language. Also, we may talk about some difficult grieving experiences and themes of mental distress that can trigger some people. If this conversation stirs up some hard emotions for you, please reach out to someone you trust. Hi. I'm Tatiana Rotere, and you are listening to Crazy Grief, the podcast. Grief can make us feel like we're going crazy. It affects our emotions, our physical health, and our mental state. It has a huge impact in the way we relate to people and the way we see ourselves. Crazy Grief is a safe space for us to have candid conversations about grief and all the crazy stuff that comes with it. We are here to share our stories, how we cope with grief, and what kind of help really helps. If you lost your person and you feel like you're going crazy, let me reassure you, you're not going crazy. You're just grieving. So, let's talk about it. Today is my greatest pleasure to have one of my dearest friends here to have a conversation with me about grief, about life after death, and how is it that we can continue to support each other even when the death of a loved one is a few years back, but there is still, you know, the dust has settled, but there is still a lot that is underneath that. This is a woman that I love with all my heart. She is my sister, and I just cannot see my life without her. She enhances my life in every single way. There is just so much love between us, and she has been a rock to me in my darkest moments. She has been rays of sunshine to me in my most joyful moments, and it's my incredible pleasure to introduce my friend Edna Gaspar. Hi, Edinha. How are you?
I'm good. You make me cry just a little bit, but yeah.
Just a little bit. Oh, it's good because we always cry together and we laugh together.
That's true.
I love you so much. So just a little introduction about Edna. She, Edna's from Brazil, just like me. And we have this really weird combination of the Portuguese and English that we mix all the time when we're talking. So if that happens in this recording, this is it's just kind of like part of the rhythms that we operate in. But one of the things that I want to mention about Edna is that she and her husband, Olegário, who happens to be like my brother from another mother, they both work with this ministry called YWAM, Youth with a Mission, and they have been doing this for almost 30 years now. They are incredible people that invest, especially in young people, throughout their lives. They have had incredible influence around Brazil, and in terms of arts and cultures. They moved to New Zealand about 8 or 9 years ago, is that right? And
nine years ago.
And I'm so glad that they are here because we met way, way back in Brazil. And now we've seen our kids are grown and they are like cousins. And I can see the incredible influence and the amazing heart that Edna and Olegário both pour into the young people in a ministry that they work with. And now, very recently, they started this this youth program called Pearanui in Tauranga in the Bay of Plenty in New Zealand. And Pearanui is aiming at providing types of education for kids that are at risk, that come from families that unfortunately do not have a good structure to be able to provide the kids support and help them with school and help them to excel in other areas for no fault of their own. It's just circumstances where they are at, and Edna and Olegário just love those kids as if they are their own. So I can just sit here and talk forever and ever about the amazing things that you guys do and the parents that you are. But because this is a conversation about grief, I want to gear the situation and the conversation towards that. Yep. So, Edginha, I want to just to hear a little bit from you. Like, first of all, like, what is it that that is your understanding of grief? Have walked alongside so many people, me included, that have had lots of grief. The young people that you guys mentor have lots of grief in their lives. And what is it that you see when you see somebody that's grieving? And where is your heart? And what are the things that you feel are really important to walk alongside somebody that is dealing with grief?
Yeah, let me try to put in words my feelings. You know me, I'm very emotional. I really feel people's struggle as my own, in my heart, and in myself. We call this empathy. Yes. You know, this is this is quite strong. For a long time, I didn't know how to really, really deal with this. But of course, with 52 years old, you need to learn. So I'm still in a journey of learning how to deal with that. How to deal with that. About grief, in my family, I never lost someone close to me. My first experience was will be 2 years ago. October going to be 2 years that Ollie's, my father-in-law, Ollie's dead, passed away in Brazil. I think this was the big moment that really, for me, was the close one that we lost after Jace, of course. Because it's more grief for me. Now, if I put in words, it's more like opportunity that I see to walk or to help the person that's going through this, to be a support for them. Not that I have the answers, not that I'm going to have more than just myself there for them. You know what I mean? Like, it's like bring to me and to my, in my shoulders, and carry with this person what she's what they are going through, you know. Even just is to be there and not say nothing, because I don't think we have words sometimes to express, like I don't have right now, to really put in words what I feel. But I feel like it's more like to be a support, literally to be a support, something gonna be there so the person can lay on, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
To carry the pain together with not any expectation to have explanation why happened, because we never know. We are so, so small, I think, as a human when we face this situation, because we don't know. But sometimes because we think it's our responsibility to bring how can I say that, Tatiana? To bring explication.
There you go. There's our Portuguese coming through. Yeah, yeah. Explanation to give a reason.
Yeah, or a reason for what happened. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we don't, but as a human, we think we need to have an answer for everything, but we don't. Sometimes it's just the presence. It's just to be there. It's just cry together. It's just make a nice meal and just give to the person that's going through, because, you know, food is a beautiful language of a way to show love, you know, and just be there.
And I love that about you. You know, I think that one of the things that you have this unique perspective on things, and everything that you do is so intentional. When you make a meal, And you are an amazing cook. I can eat anything that you make, because you can make rice and it's like the best rice. You can make it. The only thing I don't like that you make is eggs. So,
it's just because you like creamy and I don't.
That's right. Your eggs are too dry for me. But I think that even when you make eggs for someone, even when you are sitting with someone and listening to them, or just rubbing their back when they're crying, and I'm just saying those things because those are things that you have done for me and much more, you are fully present with that person. You have been fully present with me. And not only that, but I think that when you are really present, you, which is all the time, your intention from your soul is very much, I'm going to be a support for this person. I'm here not for me, I'm here for them. And I can see that as a person that is highly empathetic, that this does take a toll on you. Because you say, you know, I never lost anybody close to me. And that's true. Like, you know, you haven't lost your husband or your kids or your parents or your brothers and sisters. And that experience is very different when it's our own, right? But I think that you are this incredible, like, sensitive artist that, you know, when people say, I cannot even imagine. There's two things about that for me. Sometimes when people say, I can't imagine doing that, it's because they're completely shut and they can't really understand why somebody would make those decisions, and they are judging that person. Yeah. Or it can, when somebody says, I can't even imagine what you're going through, it's because they have already imagined. And they have already put themselves in that person's shoes, and they already, in their soul, they have already tried to understand. And I think that that's who you are. And I think that that, and I've seen that taking a toll on you, because you are able to imagine, because you are able to put yourself in that person's shoes, because you have this incredible capacity of embracing somebody and their pain and be fully present with them, I think that you have grieved more than you give yourself credit to.
Yeah, I think so. I was thinking about here, you were talking and things are coming to my mind. I remember when we got the call that Jace passed away. For me, was something like, no, there's no idea, you know? And, you know, I cry every time we talk about it. Because it is, it's still like weird feeling like this, because he was huge.
Yes, my husband was pretty big.
So he left a huge gap in our lives, you know? And he, for me, the first time when we heard, I couldn't really process. The only thing that I remember was, I need to go. We need to go. Don't matter. We're going to go. It was like, we have lots of course, we life is still here. We have lots of things to do. But I told Ollie, this was my first thing. We're going to leave. And for me, I want to leave right there. Like, it was Tuesday night. I want to leave on Tuesday night. And then Ollie said, no, we're going to go tomorrow morning. So, and then the second was like, how am I going to talk about this with my kids? Especially because he was a big uncle, you know, that make them feel, hey, it's a Tui right here.
Oh. There is a Tui right there at her window. And she's crying right now. And you're making me cry because, yeah. Because, the okay, while Edna's just catching her breath, I'm just going to mention this for those of you who are listening. So in our culture with Māoridom and Māori people, birds have a really important significance. And a tui is a very, very important bird for us. So the fact that there is a tui there at her window right now, and we are talking about Jason. Oh, God. Now my throat's like, yeah. So that's that to us is not just a coincidence, right? And we're talking about that, talking about Jason dying and them having to talk to the kids who are family to us. And Jay was a big part of their lives as an uncle. So how was that?
It was hard, especially for John. I remember he saying, "No, Mom." This was his first, not Uncle Jay, he said. And then the process start like to really become together as a family and go straight to Tachi's house. And the first thing that Taimani came and she hugged me and said, "Auntie, Tia," actually Tia means auntie in Portuguese. She said, "Tia, can you please make Mom eat something?" And yeah, then was everything start by there, like went up. It's still like very blurry, to be honest, but the emotion and the feeling still here. 3 years ago and I'm still crying, you know. And yeah, so grief is when you can feel somebody else's pain in your own, like as your own. For me, this is how I explain grief, is when you feel somebody else's pain as your own. Yeah, and then you walk the journey with fully present, with not understanding why, but just say choosing to walk together. I think this is this is how I can explain.
You know, one of the things that I always feel like it's such a gift to have you in my life and to be able to have those really deep, meaningful conversations that we have, because you are completely unapologetic about who you are. You own yourself. And I absolutely love that about you. It's so beautiful and delicious and attractive and comforting to be with you, because one of the things that I think is a narrative in our culture is that we hide our emotions, or that we pretend, or that we don't make other people uncomfortable, but we also don't get too attached. We also don't get too involved. And that is seen as having some kind of balance. That is seen as having some kind of, I don't know, being a little bit stoic is highly praised. And you have none of that. And you completely own who you are unapologetically. You are like, this is who I am. I feel things really deeply, and I love really deeply, and I hurt really deeply. Mm-hmm. And what you see is what you get. And when I am in someone's life, I'm with them for the long haul. And you are this most loyal friend that I think at times it costs you a lot, you know? Because it does take its toll on you. But I really, truly love that about you, because when you talk about walking together with somebody, being there, supporting them, you really mean that. Mm. And I think that this is incredible. But I'm interested in knowing, like, so if we can talk a little bit about Jay, because that really was the first big, big loss, you know, that you had, because he was so close to to you and Ollie and the kids. So talking about Jay and him dying, and then you walking with me along my path of grief, what was the things that were like the most difficult for you, and how did you deal with that, seeing the state that I was in, for example? Because the reason why I'm asking this question is because I think a lot of people couldn't deal with the intensity of my grief.
Yeah.
And even though I saw you hurting, I never felt, one, that you were dumping your pain on me, or two, that you needed to run away from me because I was putting you in so much discomfort. Mm-hmm. But that's from my perspective. How is it from your perspective?
For me, first, I want to just say something. It was an honor, you know, to be here first and be able to walk with you. Because how big is that, Tachi? We used to travel all over the world as a missionary that we are. And exactly in that year, in that moment, we were here.
Here in New Zealand, I know.
Because if I was away, I don't know how we will handle that, to be honest. So I feel this was like such a privilege and an honor. But every time, because you are very intense, Tatiana, you are extremely...
Am I now?
Like, you are saying, like, I feel very strongly, but you do as well. Like,
yes.
And you are an amazing artist, and you not process this inside of you. You will explode. This is who you are, for good and for bad. Like, if you are sad, you will be sad. If you are happy, you'll be happy. And actually, I appreciate this about you. So for me, was I need to be there for her, because if it was me, she will be here. This was something in my mind. And every time, I told you that many times, but just putting that again, I always think, the thought that came to my mind, first thing is how I'm going to make, or how I'm, just simple stuff, make Tatiana eat this, or how I'm going to make Tatiana take a shower, because shower for Brazilians is very important.
Yes.
If you are tired, you take a shower.
If you're sick, you take a shower.
If you're
happy,
sad,
you take a shower.
Exactly. So in my brain, Brazilian worldview, I thought, she needs to take a shower this morning so she will feel better. Then was the battle. Remember that? And I said, but there, I start to think about it. What Tatiana will do if she was in my place? Oh, she will do that. So I'm going to do it to her. No matter what. So I did. So walk with you for me was more like I need to be her for herself. Did that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. It does, because I think that a lot of people think, what would I want in that situation, right?
Yeah.
And they do for other people what they want.
It doesn't work
for them. It doesn't. And I think that for you, because you're process of nurturing and support is very much the other person is the main focus.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were able to do that. What would she want in this situation?
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna do that for her, because right now she's able to do it for herself.
Exactly. This is was every step of my way with you, my thought was that. Like the first time that the year that everything was the first, like the first Father's Day, the first Easter, the first Christmas, remember that? With Al Jay. So I said, what she wants? What would be better for me, to be there or just be here and support her from here? So if I felt I have to be in Auckland, I would drive to Auckland and stay there with you. Like, yeah, this was me. And not doing nothing. Sometimes we were just talking, processing, because I know you are verbal. You need to process all out. So then let's do it. And this is what we do until today, I think.
Yeah.
The process of your grief was pretty much, for me, was let me be her for herself.
Mm.
It's crazy, but it was that. I never put this in words, that, to be honest. It's my first time putting in words, but it's just that. Let me be her for herself right now, sitting here and just listen. Or yeah, and sometimes we can talk, I'm not being exaggerated, for hours, like three hours.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I can, okay, I'm gonna go to bed and we're gonna be there. And we talk from something funny, and then in the same hour we are crying, laughing. And
yeah,
that's so good. It's so good to have you. It's so good. It's so, like, I know Jay's past was, it's painful until today, but in the same time brought so much beauty. It's crazy to say that, Tachi.
It is.
And I'm going to cry it again.
I know. It did. I think, and now I'm able to look back and really see the beauty and see that even though we were great friends before, the depth of our friendship has been something that I feel short for words.
Yeah.
Because it has gone through like the attachment that has a very healthy attachment, not just between you and I, but between our families, have grown so much. And I think that this is kind of like, you know, a sister was brought to me in my time of adversity. Mm-hmm. And then you have always been my soul sister, but now it just feels like, yeah, it is. And I think that a lot of people shy away from that because it's hard. Because it's hard work. It breaks your heart and it requires you to be present and to put your ego to the side and to kind of really put your focus on the person that's hurting. And then knowing that you are also hurting. Yeah. And that you will have to listen to them and process things with them and support them and then go to your own place of grief and find support elsewhere. Yeah. Because you can't dump your pain on them.
Yeah, that's true.
But that doesn't mean that we didn't cry together, that you don't cry about Jay. You know, we do. Yeah. But I can see how much you respect me in that there's lots of times when we're talking about Jason or things about the kids and both of us cry, but I never felt like you hijacked my grief.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think was like in the same time was hard to walk with the kids because to understand their grief as well. Yeah, your two girls and my kids. And I love how they are so close. They are there for each other, you know.
Mm.
And I know, like, this will be forever.
Yeah.
No matter what. Like, no matter what life take us, we're going to be for each other. And this is beautiful. I feel like, I feel like God, the universe, I'm not saying that God, this is one thing that is I'm a Christian, just putting it right there. And I believe in God. And I'm not saying that God planned Jay's death. It's not that. But he was able to make this huge gap. It's big. But it's so big that he put all those good stuff to try to help us, you know, walk this journey of grief. So I believe that the universe brought this situation so we can became better persons, you know. Because I'm 100% better, Tatiana, than I was with all the situation, if you think about it. In terms of grieving. I understand today, for me, I understand that is how important it is for you to be fully present with people that are going through the situation. Not, you know, not like you said, not because you want them to feel good or stop. No, it's just because you want to be there for them and help them to care, to carry their pain. It's something that I never thought about. This, I'm processing this right now out loud with myself. I remember when my father-in-law passed away and I had to, Oli was planning to go to Brazil by himself. You remember that?
Yeah.
And then we decide, no, we're going to go because it's not good for you to go by yourself. It's a long journey to Brazil and you need someone to support you. So I went to be this support and I was a support for him all the way to Brazil and back. And I'm still being support for him because the pain that he's carrying inside of him, the loss of his dad, I can't explain, but I'm here, you know, to help him go through those. As well.
Hmm. Do you think that having gone through Jay's death and supporting me and the girls, having somehow given you a better understanding or a different perspective in how to support your husband through the death of his father?
Yeah, totally. Totally. Like I said, it's like I am a better person today. I can see grief differently today than I saw before Jay's pass. And was not easy, but was a little bit, a little bit easier to walk with Ollie because I already had with that with you and the girls.
Mm.
And yeah, it's still sometimes, like we went back in January to Brazil to visit my mom and Ollie's mom, my parents and Ollie's mom. And he, one thing he said in an hour way to Brazil, he said, oh, this is my first time going to Brazil without my daddy, my dad there, you know?
Mm.
The only sad thing that I said to him said, yeah, it is. But I didn't really, because it wasn't my dad. So I don't know the pain of not having your dad there mm-hmm. when you go back. Oh, yeah. Anyway, the only thing that I could say is like, yes, I'm here, you know?
Yeah.
And go through this together. Yeah. But though I'm much better today than I was before. And yeah.
And I think it's that, I mean, we don't know what we don't know. You're talking about you don't know how it is like, you know, to hop on a plane and go back home with somebody that is really important for you being there.
Yeah.
And that anxiety, that dread that yeah. comes, you know, the sadness, the confusion, the maybe anger, whatever is all those mixed feelings. You have not experienced that yourself. But that does not mean that you can't be there,
yeah.
you know, for that person. And I love mm-hmm. that about you. I think, too, it's one of the things that I think is really important that we had in our friendship was that you were not scared
mm.
of whatever is that might happen. Like, you know, you invited me over all the time. You came over here so often. We did spend some of those really important, significant first dates together. And you were not scared that I was going to ruin Christmas, you know? And during Christmas, I think one of the things that was really great for me was to have a place to go to, a family that was embracing me, that loved me as I was.
Mm-hmm.
And, excuse me. And that was really important because I think that with a lot of other people, I would say no when they invited me because I had this low level of dread that I would have to put up a brave face.
Yeah.
And I knew that was not the case with you. So we went to spend Christmas with you guys. And we went to spend however many significant dates in school holidays together.
Yeah.
Never once I felt like if I have a moment of grief, it might be a tiny little moment or it might be quite intense. I have to hide from you.
Yeah.
Or you're not going to be okay with it. Or you're going to feel like I am the party pooper. I just removed myself sometimes, you know, went to my bedroom, went to the other living room. And I felt like because of who you are, you set the tone also in your family. You and Ollie set the tone in your family that even the kids knew Auntie's not okay right now. So just going to let her be. Or they would come to me, especially John, and he would just come to me and give me a hug and go, "We're here if you need to talk." Oh my God, I just love that kid. So, and the girls, you know, the girls would come and bring me a cup of tea, or Vichy would come and give me a hug. And it's just, the whole family was just so accommodating.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just talking about the first year. Still now, 3 years and 4 months later, this is often what happens because when we talk about Uncle Jay, there is a sadness that is for all of us. And yet they, you know, every single person in your family has the capacity to make room for my grief and for the girl's grief. And I think that that's very unique. And I wish more people would be able to do that without trying mm-hmm. to make us happy and without trying mm-hmm. yeah. to distract us. You know, like there's no, we don't have to do that when we are with you guys. And this is mm-hmm. just such a gift.
Yeah. And I feel this is my point, is that I was trying to say, Tachi. Sometimes we, as a human, we think we need to have answer for everything. It's not that they are doing this with a bad intention, but it's like just annoying. Like if it's the annoying. Person is sad, let them be sad and just be there. If the person is happy, just be happy. You know, if they are crying, cry together. If you can't cry together, give them a tissue. Something like that. You know what I mean? Like don't try to minimize the moment. Mm. Because sometimes, oh, everything's going to be all right. Of course, we know that we're going to go through. We know that in our brain, when you're going through the situation, especially grief, I think, it's everything so deep that you cannot see a way out, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we know that we're going to go through. We're going to go through the situation. We're going to get better in the end, but everything that the person don't want to hear is everything going to be all right. Don't worry. This is the worst thing that you can say for someone. You know, I feel it. Don't say that. Just don't. Leave it. You know, don't say everything going to be all right.
Yeah.
No, seriously, you know, like something like that. I don't know.
And don't try to distract the person. I love what you just said about don't minimize yeah. what they are going through in that moment. You know, if that moment is an intense moment of sadness or grief or anger or whatever, don't minimize it, because that does not help the person it doesn't give strength to the person to carry on. It just simply takes away the permission for the person to feel the way they feel. And it exactly. makes that person feel really bad that they are feeling bad.
Yeah, this is my point. They are bad enough. You don't need to put a little bit more, you know, like a weight on top of them. Yeah. Just let them be. This is my word. Let them be. Just like be happy, be sad. Just let them grieve.
Let them be. And I think what is really amazing is that you have this capacity of letting people be without being offended or without being yeah. annoyed at them, you know. It just, and I love that about you, because I think a lot of the times, like when our ego gets into it, you could very well go, oh my God, I invited her over for Christmas, you know, and everybody's here and the kids are dancing and there's music and there's great food. And now she removes herself and goes into the, you know, the other living room and is crying. Like, you could feel offended because you made such an effort to create a space that was happy and inviting and comforting for us. And I'm removing myself from what you created in that space that took a lot of work and intentionality. Mm. And yet, you never gave me the impression that if I was not there really rejoicing in it, that you were offended, you know? Like, on the contrary, I think that we keep on coming back because yeah. we feel like we can be whatever it is and we don't have to step on eggshells when either me or the kids have those moments of grief or moments of sadness. We can just be truthful and real with you guys and then go back to have another coffee or to eat something or to, you know, go for a walk or to sit down and have a glass of wine and talk until 4 o'clock in the morning.
So good.
We can do all that together. I think that a lot of people that are grieving that talk to me, they don't have that. And I feel so mm-hmm. fortunate to have you in my life, because there's no pretending, there is no need to hide. And like you said, grief is bad enough without other people putting, you know, being offended or putting more pressure on the person that's grieving to be something else or to feel something else or to feel ashamed or condemned or guilty because they are not okay. That's really difficult when you have to babysit other people's emotions and you can hardly hold your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think as a person that is walking with someone that grieving, I think we need to take, like I said, take the attention from out. Like, it's not about me. It's about the person, you know? And I think this is a relationship thing, you know, Tatiana, when you remove your eyes from your needs and you put your eyes on the other person's need. Like, I think this is my way to see. We have so much problem with relationship, friendships, because we expect it. We go to build a relationship with somebody else because we need them. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I need. And I think relationship is about, it's not about you, it's about the other person. And then because the two person understand that, it's easy to walk together. Because you are not trying to change who they are, or you're not trying to minimize their feeling, because you take your eyes from you. It's not about how you see the thing, it's how the person see it. I think this is about relationship in general, but when the person is going through the grief, especially, then this needs to become strongly. Like, it's not about you in that moment. It's not about what you think in that moment. It's not about your feeling in that moment. It's about the other person.
And how did you do that, though? Because you had really strong feelings and an intense grief for Jason passing as well. And then you had to be there to help your kids process Uncle Jay's passing, right? So say, for example, you guys would come here and we would spend the weekend together, and then you're going to drive home and you saw how distraught I was, and you saw how, you know, the chaos that was happening between me and the kids and all that. And then you take all of that kind of like with you. How did you process that grief? Because I never felt like you dumped it on me. Mm-mm. But because you feel it so intensely, it was there.
For me, it was like, I always thought like this, Tachi. If I'm feeling like this, I was his friend, good friend. He was my big brother bear. But if I was feeling like that, I couldn't imagine how you were feeling. You know what I mean? I always put like, it's more. Because I transferred to myself, like, if Ollie, because you and Jay were so connected, like me and Ollie. It's like, it's Tatiana and Jay. Jay and Tachi. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Like, it's Ollie and Edna. It's like, one name drag the other one. You know what I mean? Like, and I thought, if it was me, it would be so hard to introduce myself. I'm Edna. Where's Ollie?
Where's Ollie?
You know,
I'm Tachi. Where is Jay? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm start crying again because it was, hi, I'm Tachi Anakhotere. This is my husband, Jay. Or Jay, this is Tachi. Because Jay had this huge pride of introduce you wherever he, you know. And I felt this pain in myself. Like, it's like a piece that you just rip apart. So I think the way I processed my grief was like, I knew it that your pain was 1,000 times bigger than mine. Because it's a part of you that was like removed from you. Yeah. So this was a how, and especially John always said like, Mom, we need to be there for Auntie Tachi and the girls. How they are doing. We need to be there. And the way he processed was like, because if Uncle was here, he will be here for me. So I'm going to be there for the girls. And yeah, the way John it is, you know. And for Julia is the same. I remember she said, I'm going to make Uncle proud. This is her her thing to today. Mm. Yeah. I think for John and Julia was, I feel like both of them suffered the most. No, I'm not saying that Victoria and Mateus didn't, but John and Julia suffered the most because for Julia, Uncle Jay was her uncle. Mm. You know?
Oh my God, I remember the day she sent me the photo of the tattoo that she made. On she got this tattoo on her leg for him because of Jay. And I just couldn't handle it. I wept so much when I saw that. And then Johnny goes and get a tattoo as well. It's just like, I knew that your kids loved Jason so much, but it's just like for a young person to go and make that decision to tattoo something that is uniquely, you know, that reminds them of their uncle on their body is, yeah, that is just so impacting for me. And it's incredible to also see the sensitivity of your kids holding my grief in my girls' grief, and while they are also grieving, which is to me is a testament of your parenting and Oligadio's parenting that you guys, the way that you live, the way that you love, the way that you invest in people, the way that you embrace people intentionally, it's a model to your own children. Mm-hmm. and I think that is incredible, and I just find myself a very fortunate woman to have you and your family in my life.
Yeah, we love you guys so much. I think we are the one that are privileged as well, you guys. And yeah, doesn't mean that we don't fight, is it? That you
no, not at all.
That the kids doesn't because they have strong temperament, but they love each other so much. We love each other so much that this is not a. Yeah, we just. I think it's a beautiful thing. We accept each other as we are.
Yeah,
we not want people to want us. Like, I'm not gonna force you to change who you are, and you're never gonna force me or the kids will force each other to change who they are. It's just being there and becoming a better person as we know each other. We walk in this journey of knowing each other.
Yeah.
And see different seasons of our lives.
I think it's really important to accept people as they are. And also know that people change, you know, and that's the thing. Like, I never felt like you wanted me to change. Mm-hmm. I remember one time, excuse me, I remember one time we're sitting in my dining room and then you said something like, I think God really needed a strong man in heaven. And I said, don't say that. And you were like, oh, as the words are coming out of my mouth, I knew that was crap or something like that. And I was angry at you, you know, and you're like, I knew that that was bad, but then it came out. And it was just that it's not that we are not going to make mistakes, or it's not that we are not going to say something that is, you know, that's kind of like the wrong thing to say in the moment, but I think it's the humility of recognizing that and straight away owning it and having a talk about it and apologizing, or, you know, and it's really not about being a perfect friend that is never going to make a mistake, but it's being a true friend that even when we make a mistake, we are able to talk about it and you know, and carry on with it because the love is bigger.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't connect and don't really invest in a friend that's grieving because they are afraid that they are going to make a mistake. And then they make the biggest mistake, which is not to show up.
Exactly. Well, I think we need to understand that, of course, we're going to make mistakes, guys. Of course. But if we don't, something wrong right there.
Yeah.
You know? But it's just be humble enough to say, oh, I'm sorry. You know?
Yeah.
Or I don't know what to say. Don't say it.
Yeah. Or that came out wrong.
Yeah. Or that came out wrong.
Or what I said was just dumb.
Forget it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Throw this away or stuff. Say, I don't know. I think it's a journey and we learn as we go.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just remembering something too. Like, I remember there was one time when you came over. Was it when I had my surgery? Because I had that surgery and you came over and you look after me. And it was terrible because I was in so much pain and mm-hmm. all I wanted was Jason. And I felt like physically so awful and emotionally so vulnerable when you were like sleeping in my bed and looking after me in the middle of the night and all that. And I remember we having a conversation about some things that you were going through that were really hard. And what I really loved about that was that I remember you saying something like, you know, I know it's what I'm going through doesn't even compare to what you are going through, but you know, you're my friend and I'm going through this. And I really loved that it was just like, you didn't feel scared to talk to me about something that was also hard for you,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think it's kind of like, there was a lot of sensitivity that you had for me, but also it was kind of like our friendship is not just a one way.
Yeah.
And so I have also been able to be there for you. Yes, I'm carrying my grief, but I have also been able to be there for you in times when you were in distress and you were grieving about something else.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't feel like I was just this fragile thing that couldn't hold the your distress, that couldn't, you know, it's not like, oh, I don't want to bother her. Like, there was none of that. It was just like, I'm going through this. And it is not the death of my husband, but this is quite significant. Can we talk about this? And just the way that you trusted me, that even in my brokenness, I could be a friend to you. That also gave me strength, because I think another thing that a lot of people think is that because I'm, you know, I might be sad or I might be struggling or whatever, they remove themselves from being a friend that also needs me to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Take
mm-hmm.
away that choice for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They already make that choice kind of going, her husband's dead, so she's not going to be the friend that I'm going to go to be able to help me with what I'm going through right now. And by making that choice, it's another cut in the friendship, because all of a sudden they already made the choice that I can't handle that. Rather than coming to me and going, hey, I really would like to talk to you because I'm struggling about something.
Yeah.
Are you available? Because if I'm not, if I'm having a really bad day, I would be like, today's not the day.
Yeah.
But giving me that choice.
Exactly.
To be able to actually also be a friend and give back, you know, I think that that's really empowering and is really important for a friendship, because otherwise I become the needy one that eventually somebody is going to be like, I just can't be with her anymore because it's, every time I go, she drains me.
Yeah.
They haven't given me the choice to pour back into them.
Yeah. I think it's more like people think, it's a kind of a protection for you, but you're not asking for protection in your feelings, in your emotion. You want to be there. It's like, I feel like sometimes we are not honest enough we are not honest enough with our feelings. I think it's that. And we want to protect somebody else and like, oh, she's so sad now, I don't want to put something else there. But this actually will help you to go through your grief, because you are feel, oh, I can help someone for my brokenness.
Yeah.
I can't. At least I'm there to hear you, to hear her or whatever, you know, and I can help. And this make you feel like, oh, okay, I'm still alive.
Yeah, I'm still alive. I'm still a human being that can offer something to someone that I care for. And because of that, it gives me another little pocket of meaning in my life to hold on to. Because if I become into somebody else's mind, just the person that is a victim, then that disempowers me. And I think that a lot of people that are grieving feel disempowered because of that, because they become the one that is receiving the love, receiving the charity, receiving the support, and they are not being given the opportunity to return the favor. And so in that, they are somewhat disenfranchised as well. I think that was my experience, at least. But never with you, which I so appreciate that.
I love that. And for me, it's like I said, it's an honor to walk this journey with you. And in the same time, walk my own journey, like you said. We still have like, and for me, I feel I have you. And this is good. It's a gift. It's, don't think, because sometimes you feel like, oh, she's here for me and all my grief and everything else. But you are here for me too. I know I can call you anytime. I know I can count on you. I know that your love is genuine. I know you're raw, and I love that about you. Yeah, it's just you're a very special human being, and I'm better because I know you.
Oh, I'm a better human being because I know you too. All right. So before I start crying, what I want to do now is just to come to the end of this conversation. And I want to ask you two questions that I ask all of my guests. Okay. So if today was the very last day that you had, say that you know today you're going to die, you only have today, how would you like to spend your very last day on earth?
Wow, I never thought about that. With my friends, my family, talking, laughing.
Eating.
Cooking for my friends, the friends that are close to me, you know? The ones that are dear to me. And yeah, be together. Spend time together. I think this is how. My last time will be like, perfect last day.
I'll be there. I will be there.
Please.
Okay. And now the last question is, say that you knew you had 1 year to live and this would be your very last year on this earth. What kind of legacy would you like to leave behind?
I want to leave behind a group of people, at least my kids, the ones that are close to me, that will walk alongside other people, make life, you know what I mean? Like the legacy of understanding the difference and walking, and never give up on that because things are different than what you think it is, right? I want to leave behind, okay, just human beings, truly human beings. I thought, like, we get our Christian life so wrong. We get, as a Christian, we get life so wrong. I'm being a very judgmental right now, I think, because we think Jesus came to this earth to bring us salvation. Is not that the main thing that we preach as a Christian?
The main thing we hear.
I totally believe that Jesus came to make us better humans because we lost our humanity. He just wanted us to be human, to feel with all our senses. Does that make sense for you? Like with all our senses. So what I want to leave behind is a group of people that will feel with all your senses, with not being afraid of feeling or showing emotion or to be human, to be there for people and walk the journey with not need to be a program for it. Program, like I'm going to do this because of that. No, I'm just going to be who God called me to be, loving people as me. I love myself. Yeah, I don't know if this makes sense, but this is the only thing I want to leave behind. A legacy of love, I think.
And I think that you are doing a damn good job at that, my friend. I think that you are doing so much more than what you believe. And I just want to affirm you. You are a woman that is so full of love and so full of wisdom and so full of kindness and compassion and inclusion and accepting other people just as they are. You are a gift to me. You're a gift to my children. You're a gift to the kids that you guys look after at Pararanui. You're the gift to this world. I am so proud and so privileged to have you as my soul sister.
I love you. And today, I think, was the best way to start my day. Because it's amazing when you can put out loud what you feel. You know, just put it there, raw. Doesn't matter if your English is good or if your Portuguese, whatever language you speak. Just put it there, you know, and just, yeah. Thank you, Tachi, for that.
Thank you. Thank you for being amazing and for loving me the way you do and for allowing me to love you in my imperfect way.
I love you. And I'm crying. Like, you make me cry today.
I love you. All right. Have a wonderful day.
You too, sweetie. Mwah! Mwah!
We have come to the end of our episode. And I want to acknowledge you, my darling, who have been listening to this conversation. Thank you so much for your time and your attention. Chances are you found crazy grief because you are grieving the death of your person, or you want to support someone who is grieving. I am so sorry our paths have crossed in this way, but I am glad we found each other. My email is on the show notes. Please reach out. I would love to hear from you. Do subscribe to this podcast and leave us a 5-star rating so we can continue to produce more meaningful conversations about grief. And remember, you're not going crazy. You're just grieving. Take a moment to breathe, reach out to someone you trust, and be kind to yourself. Light and peace.